إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن ولا وبعد. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this world as a world of cause and effect. The basic fundamental principle in this world is the principle of cause and effect. For every cause there is an effect. For every effect there is a cause which created that effect. This is not only a principle of in religion, in theology, we understand this in Islam, but also this is a principle of science in the world. In Arabic we call this al-alamul asbab, the world of means, which refers to the same cause and effect issue. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in another way. In Surah An-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Allah said, for a human being, there is nothing more than what he works for. وَعَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ, there is nothing for an insan, for a human being, إِلَّا مَا سَعَى, except that which he works for. This applies to this world, and of course, it also applies to the rewards of the deeds in the Akhirah. So we cannot get reward for something that we did not work for. Whatever we get in the Akhirah is that which we worked for in this dunya. That is the same principle on which the issue of Sawabul Jariyah also is based, where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said there are three things that stay with a human being after he dies. Everything, all his amal end with his death, except three. One is the deeds and dua of his salih awlad, the deeds and dua of his good children. And the reason that they stay with him is because the man worked for those good children. The man and the father and mother, they brought up those children, so those children are part of their effort. The second one, he said, is any knowledge that the person had which he conveyed to others from which they benefited. So any good thing you knew, and that is not restricted to ilm ad-deen, it refers to anything good. If there was a doctor who taught medicine, alhamdulillah. If it was an engineer who taught something to do, and so on and so forth. So, any good, any knowledge which resulted in positive things, that remains with, and it continues to generate thawab and hasanat and good deeds for the person even after his death. And the third thing is any work of welfare for the benefit of everybody. So, any public welfare work, whatever that might be, digging a well, a hospital, a school, or this, that, madrasa, masjid, whatever. So any work of public good that a person did, that he spent money on, these three things remain, and these are what we know as Sawabul Jariyah. And again, it refers back to the same principle, which is the principle of that there is nothing for a person other than what he or she has worked for. The same principle is reflected in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the first hadith which all of us know in Bukhari and Muslim and so forth, which is the hadith of niyyah. Innamal a'malu binniyat. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily the outcome of the deed, the reward for the deed, is based on the intention of the deed. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying that not only the effort but the reason for the effort is important. So not only did you do a good deed, but the reason you did that, if you did that deed for the benefit of, for name and fame and so on, then this will have, you will get the name and fame, but with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no benefit for that. But if you did the deed for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will reward you for that, and Allah may give you name and fame in this world as well. Nobody's deeds are more sincere than the deeds of the Anbiya alayhimus salam. And nobody is more famous than the Anbiya alayhi wasalam. Very, very simple way to understand that. The people with whom we can say without any exaggeration that their deeds were the best, that their deeds were the most sincere, their deeds had the most ikhlas, their deeds were done only and only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are the deeds of the Anbiya alayhi wasalam. Yet, they never sought fame, and they never sought name and anything. But today, who are the most famous people in the world? The Anbiya alayhimus salam. It's not the kings and queens of the past and so on and so forth. It is the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu, who children, people name their children after them, literally several thousand years after they passed away. How long, when did Ibrahim alayhi salam die? Maybe 3,000 years ago. Till today we name our children Ibrahim and Ismail and Dawood and Sulaiman and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away 1500 years. The most common name in the world is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad, Ahmad, Mustafa, all of these names. So the point is that even though they did not chase name and fame, Allah gave it to them. وَرَفَعَنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will raise your mention. You don't have to run behind it. Don't run behind it. Do the work for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The reason I'm saying this is to remind myself and you that this world still belongs to Allah, no matter what human beings like to think. And the reason I'm saying that is because of late, last couple of days, various articles have been written, and of course they keep sending me these things about all kinds of doomsday prophecies with regard to Muslims, both globally as well as in India. And people are writing all kinds of stuff. Of course, I have a good laugh when I read all that, because people write as if they have actual knowledge of the future, and they will say, this will happen, that will happen. How do you know what will happen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what will happen, and no one other than Allah knows what will happen. But people are making these statements, they are writing articles, they are making, great and passionate speeches. I love my language Urdu, where we have this term, dhuandar takhrir. Very smoky speech. if I want to do a literal translation of dhuandar takhrir, how would you say it? A smoky speech, because it's full of smoke and fog, right? It only confuses people. It does not give any clarity to any issue. But we are very good at making dhuandar takhrir. And in those dhuandar takhrir, people are predicting all kinds of doomsday scenarios. I would like to remind myself and you and those people who make these takharir and write these articles, that once again the world belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to them. And only Allah knows the future, and they don't know the future. The reason I'm saying that is because it is sometimes from conversations of people, many Muslims seem to internalize these speeches and these articles, and they start feeling depressed, and they lose hope and all kinds of despair. All of this is rubbish. Let us understand, there is no despair, there is no space in the heart of the Muslim whose heart is supposed to be filled with the noor of Allah and the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where is the space for despair in that heart? Where is the space for depression in that heart? There is no space for that. Alhamdulillah, this world, we have to look at it positively, not because we are trying to fool ourselves, but because that is the reality. The reality is the world still belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. India belongs to Allah, Pakistan belongs to Allah, America belongs to Allah, Australia belongs to Allah, the Amazonian rainforest belongs to Allah, the bottom of the Pacific belongs to Allah. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make tasarruf. Only He can change, and He can do what He wants. يَفْعَلُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاء وَيَحْكُمُ اللَّهُ مَا يُرِيدُ are the statements which refer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to anybody on the face of this planet who existed, who exists, or who will come to exist. So let us be very clear about that. So when we are focused on that, alhamdulillah, then all of this depression and despair and whatnot, losing hope, all of this will go away. Number one. Number two. Why did I begin with this ayat? Because the one who owns this also told us the rule by which it runs. And the rule is that you will get the reward and the result of what you work for. Result in this world, reward in the next world. Both. You will get the result and the reward of what you work for. And I'm saying that because this is the other fallacy. We Muslims, especially in this country, but also globally, we seem to be operating on a principle that we are in trouble, but we want somebody else to bleed for us. Right? Please understand this very, very clearly. That if somebody bleeds for you, then the result of that bleeding will come to that person. Now, we want that person to bleed for us and to hand over the reward to us on a platter. Now, that doesn't work like that. Please understand this. If that person, if I learn to fly, then who knows to fly? Me, not you. I cannot learn to fly on your behalf. And if I learn to fly, then I fly, you are still on the ground. So if we want others to bleed for us and hand us over the rewards, please, you know, stop smoking whatever you are smoking. It doesn't work like that. If you want the reward, you have to bleed. If you want the reward, you have to invest. If you want the reward, you have to change your priorities and you have to sacrifice because, and I like to use the word investment instead of sacrifice because investment means you get a return. Sacrifice, there's no return. So I'm saying make sure that you make the investment. Now we find that here, in our case, we don't want to make the effort. We don't want to change our lifestyles. We don't want to put our money where our mouth is. We want to continue to spend money in nonsensical and idiotic ways, but we don't want to invest in anything which has value. And yet, we want, you know, the rule of the world. Please, excuse me, this is not going to happen. As simple as that, right? So let us understand that. Second issue is that we seem to believe that we have a crisis of leadership. I submit that we do not have a crisis of leadership. We have a crisis of followership. We have reached a stage where we don't want to follow anybody. Every Muslim wants to be a Khalifa to himself and by himself. It doesn't work like that. Believe me, I mean, if you want good leadership, who is a good leader? Who's got followers? So follow. Find somebody who is kind of halfway decent because there are no Anbiya coming again. So therefore, if you're looking for perfection, this is the third problem, which is that we want the world to forgive us all our sins, but we don't want to forgive somebody else even one sin, right? So when you are looking at leaders, your mi'ar and your criterion is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Believe me, he is not coming back, right? So that's not going to happen. Our criterion is Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, Umar bin Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, Uthman ibn Affan. These are people who have gone. These are people, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the best of rewards. They are not coming back. And if we put that as a standard, believe me, you are never going to find that. What you will find is what you have today, which is there are some good qualities, there are some problems, and as followers, we need to invest in those people, we need to have confidence in those people, we need to correct those people in terms of their faults, we need to support them where they have weaknesses, and inshallah al-Musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the ability to lead, and where inshallah maybe it will take us to a good place. But if we are going to sit around and wish for the Mahdi alayhi salam to descend, well, you can sit and wish. I'm not denying the hadith of the Mahdi, but I will tell you the Mahdi will not come in Chanchalgoda or something. So please understand very clearly that this sitting here and wishing for the Mahdi to descend, that is the concept of the avatars among the Hindus. This is nothing to do with Islam. Please understand, nobody is going to descend from anywhere. We have to work with what we have. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you will get the result of what you work for. So I remind myself and you, let us wake up. It's enough of sleep. We have slept enough. Let us wake up. Let us connect. Three things we need to do. First of all, correct our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. That is the number one most important thing. Connect and correct our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. And then, number two, because without the connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing will happen. And the correction of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala involves living our lives according to the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah. So correct our lives. Whatever is in our lives against the sunnah of Rasulullah must be discarded, must be removed, and our life must be on the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Number one. Number two is invest in ourselves. Spend time, spend money, spend mind share on critical issues which are beneficial, which are necessary for the future and safety and progress and development of our community and of all the people who live around us, whether they are Muslim or not. This is very important for us to do. We need to invest. We need to invest money, we need to invest time, we need to invest energy behind this. It is not going to happen by wishing for it. And it's not going to happen if we get ourselves distracted all over the place, simply forwarding WhatsApp messages back and forth and no result to show for at the end of it. And number three, we need to have faith in ourselves. We need to have faith in our leadership. Whatever that leadership might be, look for leaders on two criteria. One is competence. If somebody says, I want to lead, see what competence that person has. And competence has to be in the area. You don't go to a carpenter if you want to repair your car. It does not mean the carpenter is not a good carpenter. He is not a mechanic. You do not go to a cardiac surgeon if you have a problem with your eye. You go to an ophthalmic surgeon. You don't say, no, but he is a wonderful cardiac surgeon. Exactly, he is a very good cardiac surgeon. But your problem is in the eye, not in the heart. So, when you look for a leader, look for competence in the area where you need leadership. We need political leadership. We need economic leadership. So, don't run behind people who do not have qualifications to lead in a political and economic line. They may be competent in some other areas. That doesn't matter. That competence is irrelevant for this line. Number two. Number three is look for their track record. I've written a book on hiring. It's called Hiring Winners. Look for track record. What a person has done till today, the most likely thing is that he will do the same thing tomorrow. Don't imagine there is somebody has a track record which is shady, that this person tomorrow morning is going to turn into some, you know, absolute sort of epitome of goodness. It won't happen. So let us be very clear. Look for track record, look for qualification, look for track record, and then follow that person, invest in that person, support that person, and correct that person. If you find a leader who does not take correction from you, that's the wrong leader. Forget the leader. Any leader who wants to lead must be open to correction from people, and that does not mean that every single thing you have to correct. You don't need to correct. Look at key things, and then make sure we do that. If we do that, inshallah, believe me, our future is very bright. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Our future is very bright because our future is not in the hands of this party or that party or this prime minister or that president. Our future is in the hands of our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu, Zal Jalali wal Ikram. And nobody on the face of the earth can change that. So let us be very clear about this, and let us, inshallah, live lives of hope, but not lives in fantasy. That hope has to be supported with action, and that is why I gave you the dalil of the Quran and the Sunnah with regard to this. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahim.